Good afternoon and welcome back. We're back in the studio today and we are talking about something really incredible, and that we do not have to manage things on our own, that God has given us a script or a battle plan for helping us get through some of those things that we just struggle with, whether it's an addiction or just being judgmental or anything that has a stronghold on us and that keeps us away from His dear love. So we ended last time, Miss Tara, with we were in 2 Timothy 1:7, and we were talking about fear and there's two different kinds of fear. And I think this is really, really important to know, because when you're talking about fear, I think we automatically go to a point where we're afraid. Mm. It's not, as you stated, it's not a reverent fear, which is what God, you know, so often, you know, wants from us, is that we have that reverent fear of Him. But in this case, in this particular passage, He is actually talking about fear, as in a phobia, as in we are afraid.
He says, I did not give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline, or as Sandy shared last time, sound mind. Mm-hmm. And so when we think of timidity, sometimes our fearfulness will be even afraid to be where we move forward in the boldness of what God has told us to do. I can't even imagine what it was like for them when He says, okay, you're going to march around the city, but you're not allowed to speak for 6 days and be silent and wait until I tell you. And then on the seventh day, we're going to do it 7 times before I'm going to actually say shout. And they really
bizarre.
Did.
Bizarre. That was bizarre.
Do you know what's funny? We had our pastor for one of the services was this particular, situation. And so my husband was like, okay, before I leave for work on Monday, we're going to walk around the house 7 times. I'm like, do you realize how many times 7 times? I mean, it just seemed like we were walking around that house forever.
But, you know,
and it was a small yard. I mean, it's not like we weren't walking around a city.
Right. And it says at the end of the day, they went back. were like, oh, that was a long walk. What was he up to? Why is he making them blow those horns? And you know, the people, I love VeggieTales' version of this. And is it little peas or blueberries? I don't know. Oh, throwing like
the peas.
milkshakes at him. No, you silly people. Yeah. The French peas, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, the VeggieTales version. You yeah. just they had
And
to
in today's
been.
Version, it would be edamame.
That's cute. Oh, but you know, they had to have had some fear and timidity inside them.
Mm-hmm. But they still obeyed.
I did.
It's the questioning, though. It's the not knowing.
Yeah.
Really? You know, right?
The unknown. Yeah.
It's like, what? Seriously? You want me to do this? And how many times do we, like, when God's giving us, the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, I mean, it's like, really? I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous.
But when you do, it just is so great.
Yeah.
You know, because Tara says, you just get so blessed.
We do get blessed. Yeah. And as you were saying that, I can think of multiple times that I've had that response when God has asked me to ask if somebody knew the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't know this person. I just met this person. What do you mean you want me to say, do you know Jesus? And here, yes, yeah, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to ask them if they've ever come to know me as Lord and Savior. And one situation in particular is we were standing outside in the church service, and my sister-in-law had brought a friend from work. And I don't know, my parents, we were all in church together at this time. My parents went off to one spot. My husband went off to get my kids. My sister-in-law had to go to the bathroom. So I'm standing here with a stranger. Her name's Melissa. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, what do you and Amy do? What do you do at work? And I hear, ask her if she knows me as Lord and Savior. I'm like, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I don't know. And ask her if she knows me as Lord and Savior. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Third time, ask her. I'm like, whatever, okay. I'm sorry, Melissa, please forgive me, but I just keep hearing this in my heart that I'm supposed to ask you, have you ever believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she's like, I can't sleep at night. That's all I think about, but I don't know how.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And I think of how many times in my arguing with God have I missed out.
Yep. And then my sister-in-law, and she ended up praying to receive Christ. It had nothing to do with me. I was the reluctant servant. I was not carrying the vessel very well. And Amy walks up and she goes, "Hey," and Melissa goes, "I just asked Jesus to be my Savior." And Amy's like, "Are you kidding me?" And she goes, "2 years I've been trying to reach you." And she goes, "Tara, I am never going to let you rob me of my blessing again." You know, I'm like, but, you know, oh, just wow. giving me a hard
There's
time.
There's a proven point. It's not always us that's going to.
No,
you know,
right. No, it's when God's
well,
at work.
See,
and
God's
right.
plan God's script. Plan.
It's his battle plan. But see, the thing is he has given us a spirit of power.
Mm. Yeah.
In the command where he says in the Great Commission, he says, all authority. I have all authority, and I command you to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, commanding you to teach them all I have commanded. Yep. All authority, and we have the command to teach all that's in the Word of God. And he says, I have given you not fear and timidity, but power and love and self-discipline. And as I was thinking about these, you know, I'm like, God, this is amazing. And Sandy, I was dumbfounded when I read it in multiple translations that some translations reference the third one as self-discipline, and some of them reference it as sound mind. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to catch this. If I am self-disciplined in the Lord, guess what?
I will have a sound mind.
Is that awesome?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that amazing?
Yes.
I think, you know, strength, love, and mind.
Yep. Mm.
So the ability to have my heart give the full measure of his love, the ability to do what he's called me to do, and the ability to have my mind be at peace.
Right.
And that's what he's given us. Why would I want anything else?
I know.
Why would I try to find my fulfillment in a person or a business or a I don't know. I mean, whatever it is that we would have that we could fill our lives with, we put a whole bunch of stuff in place of what he says, I have this for you.
Right.
And Paul told this to Timothy to prepare him for ministry,
yep.
to get him ready to do what we really want to be doing. We want to get all of us ready to be able to collapse the walls in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that power, love, and self-discipline in me. And it just... I want you to think about those three, and how does that prepare you for marching orders, for going forward as a disciple, for going in and breaking down walls? How does having no fear and timidity, so not being afraid as in like phobia, but also not being anxious,
mm-hmm.
okay, would be another way of saying it. How does power, love, and self-discipline help you, equip you? How can you hold on to that where you're walking?
Well, I mean, having the power, I don't know, it takes away the fear and the anxiety in the first, you know, the spirit of fear and timidity. Because I know, like we talked about in the past week, our battle is against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just said, we have all the authority. So when I'm reading this word and I'm claiming those verses that God is stating, all the power that he has given us, the power that raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
I mean, the verses in Ephesians talking about, I can do abundantly more than you can even think or imagine, right, within
yes.
you. And claiming and holding on to those in those moments, it's reminding me of, it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
As weak as I am, he is totally able to do it. But letting go and allowing him to do it.
Oh, let go and let God.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
It's recognizing the battle's his.
Right.
Yeah. It is his. Admitting it's not mine to fight.
Right.
It's remembering. That's the big word. Remember.
But it's the knowledge.
Growing in
of his word.
Continued to grow.
Yeah.
Yep. And owning it.
Well, we can, and I'm going to add to the knowledge, and that we can have knowledge because what has happened in a system in America, in our church. The church, the body of Christ, and I'm talking across denominations, I'm across the board, talking with friends from mission fields from other countries just recently at the International Orality Conference. there is a recognition amongst those who have left America and gone to other places and been gone for a season. And when they come back into the American church situation, that we are a very knowledge-based people, but we are not a people who are effective. Because you can have a knowledge, but if you do not have the love in that and using that knowledge as in a practical application in your life, that knowledge only puffs up. And so we have to make sure that as we are in the process of acquiring our knowledge, that it's not for knowledge's sake,
right.
That it is for understanding. Because remember, Job 28:28, I quoted, I think, the first week we started this series, it says, the fear of the Lord, which is the reverence of the Lord, is wisdom, and understanding shuns evil. The understanding is an implication that I have taken the knowledge, the wisdom I have given, and I'm applying it, and as I'm applying it, evil cannot stand.
Right.
And so we have to make sure that the knowledge isn't for puffing up. We go to Bible study, go to Bible study, go to Bible study,
right.
keep acquiring. But if my life's not mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually changing, then I'm just puffing myself up. I have the ability to say, oh, I've read that, I've studied that, I know that. But if I'm not living it, it's not holiness.
And applying
that application is so important.
Yeah, application.
Action speaks louder than words.
Yeah. They do.
Always.
I think we can always, like, really assess ourselves through the fruit of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
You know, is my life full of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control?
Yeah.
That's a big one.
And am I loving my neighbor as myself, or am I loving my enemy?
Right.
You know, as myself.
Right.
And honestly, God has to do a work in me to get me to love my enemy.
And
that's a tough one. You know, it's like, God, you're going to have to do it because my flesh says no.
Right.
But your spirit says yes, so I know it's possible. And so I will choose to move forward loving the way you've called me to love. Even though I may not know how to do it, I'll do as you tell me to act it out.
And having a desire not to remain as a baby, right? You talked about previous, how we see it from our own.
Right.
What did you say? Self-centeredness, that perspective. You see it from the Lord's. If we're reminded daily that, okay, he's over our lifetime, he's changing us into the image of Christ if we allow him to. So if we see all of these situations, circumstances that come into our life, on a daily basis, okay, Lord, what are you trying to grow me now and change me in whatever area to become more like Christ?
Because every time you go through those trials and temptations, he is teaching us.
Right.
There's a reason.
Every time.
This past week at the Open Door Mission, one of my friends said to me, and she goes, but you know, Tara, and she goes, I've heard and seen 1,000 testimonies. I keep hearing about how God has worked in this person's life, but I'm watching and I'm looking and I'm thinking, but God won't do that for me. If you knew where I'd been and what I'd done, God's not going to do that for me. And then it came to her when Set Me Free Ministries had come, and I believe it was Beverly, she said, was praying with her and said, I'm going to pray that God change your heart. And she said, it was like an aha moment. She goes, all of a sudden, it dawned on me, God change me? God change me? And so she began the process of praying, God change my heart, oh God, so that I might serve you the way that you want me to serve you. And that's when it happened in her, where it was no longer a knowledge, but a reality.
Yeah.
And that's when her life began to change, and God opened up amazing doors for her of things that she never thought was possible until she made the connection from not just knowledge, but taking it, owning it, and applying. And it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Yes.
Here I have a question for us on this. So, do we think that God, with the Israelites, he guarded them, he guarded the Ark of the Covenant because it represented his presence. Here we are, his portable sanctuary. if he guarded that which was made of precious metals and stones that represented his presence, how much more so the one who is human flesh?
Mm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And if he'll do that for me, he's going to do that for somebody else. And if we recognize he's done that for us, we're going to want it for the one that even is the enemy. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. when we're going to see him as the POW. Mm-hmm. You know, to take that and guard the flesh. So, Shelley, I want you to open up, if you don't mind. Go to 2 Timothy 1:14, and let's look and see what Paul had to say here about what our responsibility is then to do with what God has done. 2 Timothy 1:14.
Okay. Let me switch things over here. 2 Timothy 1:14, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Wow. Okay, so what's our responsibility?
To guard it.
Let's see.
The guarding.
Yeah.
What would you describe the guarding would look like?
Everything we take within us. You know, what we see, what we do, what we hear, what we... We have to guard that it's the correct and the thing that God would want us to hear.
But we don't have to do it alone.
Right.
No.
Because the Holy Spirit is...
That's been entrusted. Mm-hmm. That listening and obeying him mm-hmm. as he comes in. All right.
That's where asking for help.
Right.
It's so important to show us.
Right. Exactly. And so I started making a list. I thought, okay, God, mm-hmm. where have you done this? In different examples, okay, in 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says, as soon as they hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. In Isaiah 45:2, it says, I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. Micah 2:13 says, one who breaks open the way will go up before them, and they will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Hmm. And so when it comes to battles, we can trust the fact that the Lord will go before us when we give it to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need to watch for the breaking. And so in our circumstances, whatever it might be, I want to challenge you this week. Ask the Lord to help you to see how he's moving forward, that you might join him in that movement he's going forward. And he told them, I've given you Jericho. And help ask him to show you how he's giving you what he has for his glory. Because it's always about his glory, for mm-hmm. his glory, unto him, for his sacredness and his holiness. We hope to hear from you. We thank you that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.